The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, welcome back to another program, Afternoons with Mike, here on the Shepherd Radio Network. With me today is Christy Corley, representing a nonprofit ministry called Live the Life. Welcome to my program.
Thank you, Mike. Good
really,
to be here.
Really great to have you here and to learn a little bit about this thing that you work with and in, Live the Life. Give us a very brief, and then we'll jump back to that later on, but give us a thumbnail description about what Live the Life does.
Definitely. Live the Life is a nonprofit organization. They're actually all over the state of Florida, but just until recently, they've established here in Central Florida, and their main goal and their mission is to reduce the divorce rate here in the state of Florida by 50% by the year 2029. So that's a big, big goal.
Now that is a very finite number.
It is.
I mean, 50%, I was a math student, a math lover, and I was going to be a math teacher. So anytime someone starts coming up with what are concrete goals that are trackable and measurable, that always catches my attention. So you guys are being very specific. Your desire is to reduce by 50% by the year 2029.
It is, yes. And so, it started out of, it was a few years back in the magazine. It was Newsweek magazine. Duval County, up in where Jacksonville is, they were on the top 10. And it was our founder, Richard Albertson. It was his goal to get Jacksonville and to get Duval County off of that list.
Off of the top 10 divorce list?
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, again, this is across the board. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with divorce rates that by and large are often talked about. And you and I had a brief discussion about this. There's debate about it, but by and large, there's not a whole lot of difference, sadly. Mm-hmm. In the divorce rates of non-believers versus believers.
You're right. I think that the devil, he doesn't discriminate whether or not somebody is a Christian or not. I think that it puts an even larger target on a Christian's back. The devil, his goal is to divide, to kill, steal, and destroy. And I think he's hard after marriages, and it doesn't matter if you are a believer or not. And so where it might seem like the, you know, believers are wouldn't be as prone to divorce, they are. And one of the things that I think that even non-believers, they're just not even getting married.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot that are not right now. Mm-hmm. And certainly, by and large, as depicted in the media, the whole concept of marriage has been diminished. Value of marriage, the role it plays, it has been nominalized, if not ridiculed, to the point where a lot of people, if they grow up and they don't know the Lord and they have no upbringing in a church at all and they have no convictions about why marriage is the right thing or the right way, then it's understandable. We live in what is often now being referred to as a post-Christian culture.
Yes.
We've moved beyond modernity. We are no longer just postmodern. We are now into a rejection, by and large, of the values of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And boy, that's a sad reality. But all it takes is for one to look at the newspaper or watch an evening newscast and hear the things about transgendered lives, abortion, when you think about homosexuality being where it is today, there has been a great shift in our culture, in our country. America is not doing great in this department.
No. And one of the things that Live the Life does, it not only focuses on reaching out to couples who are married, who might be struggling. They even have programs in place that help out engaged couples to before they're even to that place.
Mm-hmm.
And also even before that, they are now able to reach kids at a middle school and high school level to teach them relationship education. It really comes down to healthy communication. It comes to healthy relationships. We just had a couple go through our Start Smart program, and that is for engaged couples. And it takes a look at what was conflict like when you were growing up. What was conflict like between mom and dad? And then what was conflict like between you and mom and dad when it arose? And then it allowed me to ask the question, okay, now in walking into your new family, your new marriage, what do you want to continue?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you want to discontinue? And it's really looking at the generational curses and blessings. What are the things that you know you grew up with? What are the things that you saw firsthand? Because we know we model what we saw when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gives us an opportunity to ask couples, okay, what was life growing up like? And what do you want to continue? And what do you want to discontinue? So it starts even before they're married. We're able to talk to couples and really just even dig deeper into that relationship side of being able to communicate in a healthy way.
That's really well said. And there's a whole real need to help people from the standpoint of entering into a marriage that is fatally flawed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is one of the most difficult things to see for me when I was a pastor and counseling people. There were times, you know, we used to have kind of an understated but still real goal that we were aiming during premarital counseling. We were aiming at either helping them to become the very best couple in marriage that they could be, or if not, if we could see, and it became very apparent through premarital counseling that this couple was not going to make it, our goal was in a real sense to trust God that he would let these two see that so that they don't defraud one another.
Mm-hmm.
But sadly, I've had people, which I would even give warnings to look, I really don't think you guys should be doing this right now. I've actually done that. Only once did I have him, let's say the eyes opened and the lady got up and realized I need to get out of this. And she did. And she was glad she did. But I've had many more times the case where they went ahead and got married. Within a year, they were divorced.
Yeah.
And that's a sad reality to realize that there's either a lack of knowledge or a lack of understanding or a I'm going to do it anyway attitude that goes into going ahead and getting married to someone that is not a good fit.
Right.
That's tough stuff. Now, then there's this other side before we get to you. I mean,
sure.
This is a long wind up here, but I got to say this. There are many of our listeners, and this is a sad reality too, who have already gone through the pain of divorce.
Yes.
And by God's grace have become remarried. And anytime we talk about prevention, we also have to keep in mind that there are a lot of listeners who could hear this and really feel like this is an indictment. And I know that's not the heart of any of your organization to try to make people who have gone through the stain of divorce and the pain of divorce. We're not trying to do that.
Oh, no, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we like to show is there's a cycle within relationships. And it looks the same no matter if it's your first marriage or if it's your second marriage. And we're able to show, especially within the second marriage or third marriage, to show, okay, let's look at where the breakdown was so it doesn't then continue into your new marriage.
Yeah, because that breakdown often does.
It does, and many times it's even sooner with that second marriage.
Yeah.
That honeymoon period becomes less and smaller, mm-hmm. and shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
And so to be able to learn and to see and to understand healthy communication, it really does come down to healthy communication.
I think it involves also just really weighing in on where the heart is. There are so many times we used to use the expression missionary dating. people who would be interested in somebody for reasons other than a good fit from a standpoint of faith in God. And they would just believe that love's going to win the day. And so often love does not win the day in that. And you find out that you should have seen this all along. That happens too, and it's happened to many people. So again, all of that to say, we're not aiming to try to disparage those who have gone through this, but really to set that wide net out, hopefully, for people who are considering marriage, who are going to be getting married, and by God's grace, need to stay married.
Yes.
And, you know, sometime I think about the phrase that Larry Tomczak, he is still a Christian leader, and he was an author back in the 70s and 80s, very well known. He made this statement one time. I've never forgotten it. Thank you, Larry, for giving us this word. He said, marriage, a healthy marriage is not the absence of conflict. And this is a paraphrase. But it is an enduring of the conflicts. That's really what marriage is all about. Mm-hmm. It's, look, friends, if you think in a marriage you're going to have a picture perfect day in, day out, morning by evening, just a daily ride of bliss and no arguments, you've got the wrong idea about what marriage is. You guys are both human, and you're going to get in each other's stuff at some point and make each other upset. I mean, it happens. Mm-hmm. It happens in the best of marriages. My wife and I have been married 45 years.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. And we still can have issues and do. And it's nuts that we do. Most of the time, it's because of bullheadedness or whatever, or just not thinking. But the point of it is, the best of marriages are still having to endure conflict.
Yes.
And that is part of it. Okay, that's a big wind-up.
Okay.
Let's talk about you. What okay. part of the country did you grow up in?
I grew up in Iowa, in the Midwest. So Florida was definitely not introduced into my life until about 20 years ago.
You didn't have oceanfront property there in Iowa.
Yeah. No. The cornfields of Iowa.
I like it. Yeah, what about Iowa do you remember and think, man, that's just... That was such a wonderful thing.
The thing that I always think about whenever I think of Iowa and growing up in the Midwest is the seasons. Mm-hmm. And we don't get that here in Florida. Not really.
Not really.
No. We're very thankful for the cooler days, you know, that we have. But it's the seasons. I remember missing fall really, really bad. When our first fall here, I was like, I remember like October rolled around and I was like, hey, wait a second. Aren't the trees supposed to turn colors, and aren't we supposed to like feel that crisp in the air in October? Mm-hmm. It's like, no, we're still in hurricane season here.
That's right. That's right. It's a big deal. Now, having spent 17 years in Gainesville, there are a few more of those feels that come in the fall.
Yes.
But so we'd have some trees on the beautiful driveway into the church building where I served. We had some trees that would actually turn yellow, and some that had touches of red, and it was so beautiful.
Yes.
But just that short distance away from Orlando, and down here in Orlando, you see very little of that.
Right. Yeah.
No beautiful fall colors here, but
no.
Lots of beautiful palm trees.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And lots of other things.
I really like Florida.
I love Florida, and we're happy both places. But yeah, okay. The seasons, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. The chill in the air.
Yeah.
You get a lot more of that too in Gainesville than you do in Orlando. But we had a even in Orlando, a pretty chilly winter for Orlando.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone back home, they always laugh at me though whenever I talk about, oh, it's so cold here. They're like, listen, we're in the negative temperatures
right now.
That's
right. Yeah. They don't feel sorry at all.
No, not at all. My mom and dad are still in Iowa, so I do get home to visit them, but more times than not, they're often here visiting us because they want to come here to the warm weather.
They're obviously very wise people.
Yes.
And there's something about getting away from all of that snow and ice and the very intense cold. And I don't know if you had this where you were, but the gray skies in winter, that kind of cabin fever, as they called it.
Yes, that. And then I remember whenever there would be all that snow on the ground, and then when the salt trucks would, or sand and salt trucks would come along to melt down that. Mm-hmm. I just remember not only the gray skies, but then also just like that slush, and, you know, and it would kick up onto the the car tire wheel wells. And I remember it was just
caking
always
up behind the wheel wells.
It was so
I remember
dirty
that.
And
yep. Ugly. And then
potholes.
Yeah. And snow is so beautiful when it falls. But when it is pushed up by scrapers in a mall parking lot to where it's like 12 feet tall.
Yes.
And then it gets black and ugly with all the oh yeah, I don't miss any of that. So Mom and my sister Becky, if you're listening up in Indiana, which you probably are, we're talking about what you still have to deal with, and we're very sorry, okay? Those of us in Florida, though, we've been in 80s when they've been in the 20s up there.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't miss that part of it at all.
My parents, on the weather app, they're constantly looking. They're comparing every day. They look and mm-hmm. see what the temperature's like in Orlando versus what it's like in Iowa.
Wow. So you're married. Did you meet your husband up there or down here?
I did meet him up there. It was I went to a Bible college up in Norfolk, Nebraska. So it was about 2 hours away from where I grew up. And I was going to the Christian college there. My husband, he wasn't going to the college, but he had just moved to the town and he wanted to meet other Christians. And so he heard about the dorm devotions that we had, and he came up just to get to know more people. I spotted him right away. It was a very mm-hmm. small Bible college. Yeah. And I saw him walk in the room, and I elbowed my friend and I said, "See that guy that just walked in? I'm going to marry him."
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you did.
And I did. I did. I was on a mission.
That is something. Well, that is a great story. And he was obviously in that area himself mm-hmm. then. But what brought you guys here?
So he grew up in a missions organization that was a worldwide missions organization, and their headquarters happened to be here in Central Florida. So
what organization was that?
It was New Tribes Mission. Now it's Ethnos 360.
Yes, heard of it.
Yeah, since. And
that's a big mission place.
It is. It is. And my husband is very tech savvy. He is all about computers. When he was like 12 years old, he was writing his own code and you know, trying to, you know, do his own video games, you know, out of doing computer code. And so that's always been a hobby of his and something that he's always been very good at. And so as he got older, one of the gentlemen at New Tribes recognized that in him, and they said, you know, consider coming back to New Tribes as a, you know, to help. And so you have to take in mind, this was 20 some years ago. This mm-hmm. was back before, you know, before anything of what we can even think of when we think of like the internet and all that. That was back in the days of dial up. And
20 years ago, a different world.
No websites were kind of a brand new thing back then. And so we had, when we were thinking about what we were wanting to do with our future, missions was definitely on our heart. And so Andy, when he knew about just the opportunity at New Tribes then to serve in a support capacity or support missions, you know, not going overseas, but to serve here in the States, he was like,
That sounds like a job made in heaven for him.
You know, and it was. But many times people would look at us and they're like, "You're not really missionaries."
Well, I think the support people that really are there to help in any way at all, especially if it's computers, because they need the tech.
Yes.
And boy, do we need that. Christy Corley is my guest today. We're going to be back with her in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. In the studio with me today, Christy Corley. Christy is from Central Florida, living in the Orlando area now. From Iowa, met her husband up there. Husband is a bit of a computer guy and ends up working for New Tribes Mission. That's kind of where the story got left off. And I know that you guys, obviously, you met up there in college. And God has opened up these doors now in Orlando. So finish telling us anything about your relationship with him.
Sure. Oh, wow. during our time with New Tribes, as amazing as it was and how Andy was able to use his computer skills for good, he was able to, that was right when the internet was brand new, websites were brand new. So he was able to create or be a part of a team that helped to create the ability for the work to be shared around the world. And especially through not only through their website, but then through just ways where missionaries were able to communicate so much easier.
And cheaper.
Yes, yes, yes. And they didn't have to wait for that support letter to get all the way from Papua New Guinea back to their supporters, and it really helped with the real time connecting people. And so I say all of that just to say that while it was amazing work, and it really it caused a moment between Andy and I where and this can happen to anyone, and you know, so it's not just with what we were doing, there was this loneliness that settled in with me where I was at home with the kids and Andy was off at work. And I was, you know, like a stay-at-home mom taking care of three little kids. And so I feel like that part can be very relatable to many people. It's, you know, like take away, you know, the fact that we were with a nonprofit organization and all of that. And Andy was off at work. I was a stay-at-home mom and I got lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, that was also because of the rise of the internet. That was when I discovered online chatting, and I had no idea the dangers that lied there.
Oh, so many people have entered those chat rooms, and there are many dangers lurking.
Yes. And from that moment, it the enemy started just to really start to whisper lies into my ear about how I would be so much better not with Andy anymore.
Oh, my.
Andy had done nothing wrong. Andy was very up, you know, like an upstanding man, nothing wrong, but it was truly just believing the lies of the enemy through going in and just seeing how, you know, like, oh, it looked like such a perfect world online.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the point where I actually asked Andy for a divorce.
Mm.
Like I said, not to anything that, you know, like many times when you hear that somebody, you know, like asked for a divorce, it's like, oh, what'd he do?
And he didn't do anything.
No, no.
Yeah.
I truly believed that the grass was greener on the other side.
So and obviously in these chat rooms, you were chatting with people who had no problems at all, just talking to you, even though you're married.
Oh, for sure. Oh, there was, no discrimination there.
Mm-hmm.
And it caught Andy by surprise when I asked him for a divorce. He was blindsided. He really had no idea that this was even on my heart. And so he asked if we would go to counseling. I was very, very closed off. I'm like, nope, 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 not doing that. We don't do that here. And eventually we did go see a counselor. And we agreed to a separation during that time, just because she could see that I needed to work through some things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think she was just trying to buy some time here before I was ready just to, you know, just to call it quits. And it was during that time. So Andy and I, we separated for a year, which is crazy when I think back on it now. It was a year. But during that time, I was working and I was driving one day and I was listening to the radio, and it was a station. They were actually, believe it or not, talking about divorce, and they were talking about couples who were separated.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, it caught my attention.
Sure. There you are.
I know. But they were talking about the percentage of people who get back together, and they were looking at different scenarios, saying, you know, well, if, you know, in this scenario, about 25% of people get back together. And in this scenario, about, you know, 33% of people get back together. But if you are, you know, and they narrowed in on who I was, you know, my category, they said, if you are, you know, a white couple that is married less than, you know, so many years, you have less than a 2% chance of getting back together.
Wow.
And
that fit you. You were in that
2%. It fit me. I was the 2%.
Wow.
And in that moment, I'm driving. No one else is in the car with me. And in that moment, I heard God speak to me. Hmm. You know how you know it's God speaking to you when it's not your thoughts. It's not the way you would want God to be speaking to you. And so it's clearly when it's God speaking to you, because it's not at all what you would have wanted for your life. But in that moment, God said to me, Christy, not only are you going to reconcile your marriage, but you're going to use this time in your future to help other hurting marriages.
Mm.
And I actually started arguing with God in the car. I was like, no. Remember, I'm getting a divorce, God, remember? And I had to sit on that. I was like, what?
Yet another failed argument with God.
Isn't it crazy how you just want to be in charge?
Can't do it.
It's like, God, no, this is the way things are going to go.
That's it.
Yeah. And that was 13 years ago.
Wow.
Andy and I just celebrated our 25th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. You know, when you think about, you're recognizing now the dangers. Those dangers have only exacerbated as time has
tremendously
gone on.
Yeah. Not only the chatting, but it's gone even further. Everything from, you know, like you can text so easily.
Yeah,
you can,
sure.
You know, in all of the different social media platforms, you know, like you're not limited just to, you know, like online chatting here or there. It is everywhere. We communicate regularly mm-hmm. through our phones. And it is that piece of hardware that you have right there in front of you that you can so easily have emotional affairs, actual affairs. It's crazy what can happen right in front of you. And it's just between you and your phone, and you can keep it a secret so easily.
To your point, I think one of the more common problems is the emotional detachment that starts happening between a couple as someone leans in emotionally to someone that's outside.
Yes.
And that they think that, well, there's no touching, there's no real relationship here.
Right.
But an emotional affair, as you called it, is as dangerous as a literal one.
That's right. It's many times we look at, say, pornography. And we think of how, you know, like, oh, well, a man has, you know, like a man or woman has, you know, like, you know, gone into an affair because of what they're, you know, like participating in when it comes to pornography. But if you think about it, it is so much. Think about just the emotional detachment that you have when you start forming a relationship with another person and that person is not your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it can seem, you can tell yourself all you want to tell yourself about how innocent it is and how this doesn't mean anything. But if there's something exciting and dark about it and you feel the need to keep that quiet, that's already telltale sign number one that you're in trouble.
Yeah.
There's something already gone way farther than it should.
I saw something on social media, but it was on there was just a picture that said, if you have to delete the text so that your spouse doesn't see it, you've already gone too far.
Yep. The whole thing of clearing memory, deleting texts. Yeah, that is something that needs to be brought out. And, you know, I love what David Jeremiah said this past weekend on his program, Turning Point. He said this, he said that the difficulty is when we give the devil and we forget that there is a true enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You said that earlier. What the enemy loves to do is to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, but so oft times we give him and he used this word, an expression very common to my family. He said, we give him a toehold.
Mm.
We give him footing in our lives. Just through the slightest open door, he said, the devil will be glad, very happy to come in with just that little bit of an invitation and set up shop and try to destroy your life.
It's so true. And we see it every day. We see it every day. We see the compromises that we make each and every day and how those compromises affect our families,
mm-hmm.
our marriages, us individually. When you start to compromise, it opens the door for the devil to come on in.
Yeah.
It's like you've just that little crack.
Yes, a little crack, yep. A toehold, if yes. you will. That's a funny thing. I think of a toehold from my years of when I was a boy. My grandfather had ponies, leaded ponies. So I got to horseback ride a lot when I was young. That was perfect for me because I was loving the Westerns of the day and I loved horses. But, you know, you think about that little bit of space that your foot occupies when you're climbing up, then it opens up the saddle and the whole world of riding. But it begins with that little bit of a toehold right mm-hmm. there. That's the first contact with that horse. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens to the enemy. He comes, if we give him a place, it's almost like, here, well, let me help you up. No, stop, run, get out of there. That's exactly what happened in the Bible with Joseph. Mm-hmm. Joseph, Potiphar's yes. wife, gave him basically an open door and he ran. And that's what we need to do. We need to run yes. in those moments.
Yes.
So I have a question
okay.
About this time when you were separated. I know that one of the big killers that happens in a family, it's not only the impact and the desecration that divorce brings into the marriage couple, but it affects kids. And so what was it like for your kids during that year?
It was so, so hard. I was looking at photos just the other day. We were getting ready for one of our Adventures in Marriage courses, and I was looking at some photos from back in the day when that all was taking place. And now, especially seeing it through eyes that I have now, I see the hurt and the pain. And I have three kids, and they were about 5, 7, and 8 during that time. And it was so, so hard. We actually, we had a separation so much so that we were in separate locations. So it was just like a divorce where the kids were going back and forth from my house to Andy's. And they had to divide up their own thoughts and feelings and emotions of oh, did I tell Dad that? Did I tell Mom that?
Yeah. And keep track of all that.
Yeah.
And so often they feel that to be friendly with one, there's almost like a challenge to your loyalty to the other.
Right.
When that happens.
And they really didn't know what was going on.
So confusing.
It was so hard to see, they really wanted all the holidays and everything to just be normal.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't normal anymore.
It wasn't normal. Yeah. But by God's grace, you guys made it.
We did.
You fit in that 2% and you grabbed hold of that and you made it.
About a year into the separation, it was right about the time, honestly, Andy and our counselor thought that I was still going forward with the divorce. And God spoke to me yet again, one more time, to say, what is going to be any different about any future relationships? If you go into another relationship, you're just carrying all of this
mm-hmm.
into a new relationship. You have not addressed what caused the separation in the first place. And I asked myself, would I be any more loyal to a new man? Would I be any more faithful to a new man? And when I honestly answered no, that was when I realized, whoa, it's me.
Yeah.
And it's a deep, deep issue inside of me and a heart issue inside of me that I have not yet addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that moment, too, that I was able to look at Andy with all new eyes to see, wow, he has done nothing wrong here. It is me. And it was really, I was scared. I didn't know if he would even take me back. And he was standing there with wide open arms. I tell you, if everyone had a man, or if every woman had a man like Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking a while ago when you were talking, I've never met Andy, but I can tell you already, he's a He's a quality guy and has a heart for God.
Yes.
And he's obviously realizing that life, we'd like to think that these things never happen. We'd like to think that we would not have these kinds of problems. But I tell you, it's much more common for this kind of a problem than it is to find a couple who would stand and tell you. This actually happened in our group one night in Gainesville. We had a couple that said, we've never had an argument. Mm. And they'd been married like 15 years. And I wanted right there to say, you guys are not being truthful right now. That's what I wanted to say. Now, had I said that, I would have been right. Because it came out later, not only did they have arguments, they had shooting matches practically. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah,
it's almost as bad as the joke, I'll never divorce you, but murder is an option. You know, it is one of those kinds of things. Well, this need for honesty and this need to be real about what we're at, we're talking about life of imperfect, sinful people. That's what we all are. Mm-hmm. And how much more glory does God get when there is the ability to, there have been problems in me. Yes, she wanted a divorce. And yes, she was emotionally attached to somebody else or maybe several somebody else's. I've had that happen before, but I still love her. Now, that is an amazing thing that he did by keeping, as in your words, his arms wide open.
Mm-hmm.
It's really wonderful. I can't wait to meet Andy. This is great. I am talking today to Christy Corley. She's with Live the Life. And friends, we've only got one more segment left with her. We're going to find out about this organization, how it is now in Central Florida. It's been around since 1998. We'll learn more about Live the Life and Christy Corley in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're on The Shepherd. Christy Corley is my guest today with Live the Life. This organization has been around, originating in Tallahassee in 1998, and only though recently moving into Central Florida.
That's right. It was 1998 when they started. However, and at that time, they started offices in Tallahassee. It went to Jacksonville, over in the Panhandle, and then down in Fort Lauderdale. I've come to learn that over the last 3 or 4 years, they've been praying for a couple to take the lead here in Central Florida. And I happened to meet the director of the Tallahassee office back in, it was the fall of this last year. It was, I think, September. And it was actually very random. I was actually looking for something on Facebook Marketplace. And I ran across somebody in Tallahassee that was selling something. And, our conversation started to where we were, lining up, if and when we would purchase this. And Andy was there with me on the phone because it was a camper, a small little vintage camper.
Yeah.
And so Andy's concern was, okay, this thing, is it going to make it to Central Florida? Mm-hmm. And so they were talking through the details of that. And then, when we were lining up the timing of when we would get together, he said, his name is Doug. And Doug said, I've got this marriage conference, this Hope Weekend that I'm doing this weekend. So I'm not available these days. And I've got a marriage retreat that I'm doing on this day and this day. And just hearing all of that, about marriages and such, Andy said, oh, sounds like we have a similar passion with marriage ministry. Christy and I have done, marriage class in our church, and we're really looking to see what's next for us, what God would have next for us. And just by putting that out there, Doug said, wait a second. Hold up. I think that this phone call has an even bigger purpose
to it. Now, would that be Doug Stevens?
It is. Do you know Doug?
I've had him on my program.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Small world.
Yeah.
So then, definitely the conversation took a total turn, and he was, we were talking more and more about it. We ended up going to Tallahassee to get the camper, but the purpose really on our hearts from that moment on, I'm like, yeah, I'm excited about this, cute little vintage camper, but I more want to hear about this ministry, and I want to hear, I want to know their heart. I want to know what their programs are like. I want to, find out more. So we went up. We were able to meet the president, Richard Albertson. Mm-hmm. He's also there. And so we met, and went quickly through what they had, but they just sent it all home with us. And they're like, take a look, you know, take it home with you, take a look at it. And more than anything, we want you all to go through an Adventures in Marriage yourself.
Yes.
And of course. And so I think we got home, we looked through it, and we signed up right away for the very next one. So we were back up in Tallahassee to go through our first Adventures in Marriage. And, you know, when we went through Adventures in Marriage, we were going through it or going to the class with eyes of not so much, okay, we're going through this course because our marriage needs it. I mean, it's a great course, no matter if, you know, like if your marriage is hurting or not. But we were going to the class through eyes of bringing this course to Central Florida. But I tell you what, it was so good. Each one, the thing that really makes Adventures in Marriage and Live the Life stand out, apart from any other marriage program that we've ever seen, you receive these practical tools and skills to help you through any argument, through any conflict. And the easiest way that I describe it is, you know, like you're with many, like say books or whatever it is, they might help to shine a light on the program, or I'm sorry, shine a light on the problem, but they might not give you the practical steps as to, and then here's what you need to do.
Right. And that's really where the rubber hits the road on that is like, what do you do? How do you put this in?
Right.
Because I think that most people who really want to see their marriage make it, they really do want to see their marriage make it, but getting the steps, taking the right aim, all of those things, they have to be put together.
Yes. So we ended up, you know, after we said, yes, we are all in. We are all in. That's when Live the Life Central Florida was born.
Wow.
We, of course, like it wasn't just a matter of, okay, you're the, you know, you are now the regional director. It was, you know, we went through a process of, you know, they did a little bit of digging into us and just to make sure that we were a good fit. They wanted to make sure that we were fully aware of what this would look like. It's a nonprofit ministry. It's not just like a normal job that you would, you know, write or fill in a resume and turn it in. It's, you know, the nonprofit world is not the same as corporate America, where you're going to be partnering together with businesses to share the vision of what, you know, what the core values and mission is of what you're doing. And so with all of that, you know, we learned more, but the more we learned, the more we are in love with it. And we're like, yes, this is the next step.
Well, now I am, I feel a little bit more connected in, I'm connecting these dots as we're talking, because I remember when this was being launched here, and I had a wonderful chat with Doug, who invited me, and it might well be the very meeting that you went to. I was invited to that, and I could not make it. We were going to be out of town, but Cindy and I were both invited to go to that. And then there was going to be a follow-up meeting down in Central Florida here, and I couldn't make that one either. So it's so funny. And then also Doug, I found out after I had Doug on my program that his brother, Mark, I know Mark, and I never put the two together.
Okay.
And so Pam, Mark's wife, it was from Central Florida, from Orlando, and has been on my program and a friend for 30 years.
Wow.
It's just crazy to see how this has come back up. So you'll have to tell them, yeah, I was on the same radio program, Doug, that you were. That's great.
He's going to love it.
Yeah, that's funny. That really is great. Well, you're doing such a wonderful thing, aiming at reducing marriage divorce. Now, you have to put those two words together, because first, it is a marriage. And, you know, it's funny, isn't it, how that almost everybody, whether they're believers or not, would equate, if they close their eyes and they think, all right, what words about a wedding would you use when you're getting married? What would it be? Well, some of the words that would come up would be, till death do us part. And that death is exactly what is meant to be. It's like physical death, but people allow and have allowed a death to the covenant of marriage to happen through divorce. And that's not the kind of departing that God had in mind.
No.
That's not the kind of picture that we get that marriage is intended to bring.
No.
But it is something that I sadly believe many people are accepting, that it's okay. Yeah. And they have actually entered marriage with almost the kind of an attitude that if it doesn't work out, we'll just divorce.
Mm.
And that is not, again, the biblical picture.
No.
So I appreciate what you're doing. You're aiming at stopping this thing called divorce.
Yes.
So it's great.
I've noticed that you've used the word AIM a few times, and AIM actually is an acronym that we use at
Really?
Live the Life for Adventures in Marriage. It's one of our main programs. And so we often shorten it down to say the AIM course. And so with you saying AIM,
I did not know that.
There you go. You've
yeah. That's good.
But yeah, so Adventures in Marriage is the primary course that couples will go through, whether their marriage is good and they're just looking to strengthen it, or if they're starting to, you know, notice some problems and they want to address those.
You know, a number of years ago, there was a teaching that was out, and it was called The Drifting Marriage.
Yes.
And I thought that was a really good metaphor because of the fact that oftentimes, and this is what happened in your life, it wasn't like all of a sudden there was a hard left turn one day and you realize, wait a minute, I think I want a divorce. You know, that hard left turn typically is not what causes it. It's usually over time, a little by little, drifting away from the core center of your relationship. That's what happens.
Yeah.
And if we're couples are going to stay together, they're going to have to be determined that we're not going to allow the drift to happen in our lives.
Yeah. We even have, funny you say drift as well. We have an exercise where couples will stand back to back and we'll say, okay, for every meal that you did not eat with your spouse this week, take two steps apart. And then, you know, for each night that you have taken the phone to bed with you, take so many steps apart. And for every, you know, if you feel that your marriage is not as close as you would want it to be, take so many steps apart. And after doing, you know, several of these examples, then we'll say, okay, now turn around and look at where your spouse is. How does that make you feel?
Mm.
And it's powerful. It's a powerful, like, visual example of
they drifted
wow,
apart.
They did. But then we make sure to bring them back together. You know, like, so now how many of you want to commit to, you know, and each one of those things that caused them to drift apart, you know, take so many steps forward until eventually they're together again. And it's, I can't tell you the embraces and the hugs and just, you know, that feeling of, yeah, I don't want to be that far apart from you. That mm-hmm. didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so sad to me when I think about how many people have short-circuited what could be incredible, wonderful years of marriage together
mm-hmm.
because they allowed that drift to become a permanent break.
Yeah.
And they don't realize, as you're finding out, Christy, you and Andy are finding out that it is worth the hard work. It is so true for friends. It is so true that divorce, people think it's the answer, and it's often not the answer that they were hoping it would be, much less bringing them more joy and more peace. It's often an exacerbation of some of the problems that they had in their life. Most often it is that. But if you could hang in there and then become healed, I think of the scripture that says, confess your faults one to another, pray for each other so that you can be healed. There's nothing more wonderful than to talk to a couple who came close, but they didn't get divorced. And now look at the joy that hanging on and that persevering through, enduring the problems, and all of a sudden they get to a place in their marriage where now they're more rock solid together than they ever would have been
mm-hmm.
before these problems even.
Yeah.
So that does it. It's really great to talk with you. What events are coming up? Do you have any other dates coming up for these kinds of seminars for couples to come together?
We do. We actually, our first, let me back up. So we have Adventures in Marriage happening every month. And we offer two different formats.
Okay.
We either offer a weekend format that is a Friday and a Saturday. And that is kind of like a retreat. Let's say you want to go to a retreat and you're getting all of that information within a weekend. And it's wonderful because you're able to see how one, you know, like builds on each other in real time. But it is, you know, it's an 8 to 10 hour course, depending on how winded we can get. But it's about an 8 hour course that we do on a Friday and a Saturday. That's coming up this April 21st and 22nd of this month. But we also offer weekly classes, and those are on Thursday nights. And the first one for April is happening this Thursday. So we have Thursday classes in April, but we also have that weekend course in April as well. And then we'll be repeating this again in May. People can find out information on the website, which is adventuresinmarriage.com.
Adventuresinmarriage.com. Simple as that. And people can aim at doing that. There you go,
there
friends.
There you go.
Yeah, you could hire me as a script writer
you.
For your
you
for
did
your
wonderful.
Metaphors. That's funny. Adventuresinmarriage.com. Christy Corley, thank you for being here. We'll have to have you back at some point. Tell us how things are going and developing. And next time you come back in, bring Andy.
I'll bring Andy.
Yeah,
yes.
Bring Andy, and we'll have both of you in, and that'll be a lot of fun. I appreciate your being here with us today. And friends, as always, it's great to have you along. We'll see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.